If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn with us to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to start reading at verse 22, if you will. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We are his members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Father, we're glad for this privilege to be here this morning, to worship God with the people of God. We pray for your presence among us. We pray that you'd use this service this morning to touch hearts, to direct lives, to bring us into touch with God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to believe the gospel, believe the teachings and instructions that the Lord has left us in his word. I pray that you'd help us by the grace of God to follow those teachings. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this congregation. May this service be life-transforming for some individual. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, if I ask you to guess what I'm going to preach about this morning, I might get several different ideas from this passage, but I'm going to preach on the glorious church. And in this passage of Scripture, the Lord compares the church, the relationship between Christ and the church, to the relationship between a man and his wife, draws parallels between those two relationships. But the obvious thing that God has said about his church is that it is his aim, and this is what Christ is working toward. He is going to have a glorious church. A church, a shining church. A church that, as he described it here, that is without blemish, that is holy, that is without spot, and that is without wrinkle. That is without spot, the garments are unspotted. Without wrinkle, that is, this church still holds the freshness and vitality of youth. So this is the kind of church that Christ is going to present to himself. It is a glorious church. And when you look at the world today, we have a little over 2 billion people who are classified as belonging to the church in the world. Over 2 billion people. And of course that includes the Roman Catholics, which is by far the largest group of over a billion, and all the various groups of Protestant churches and those who didn't even carry such a title. But among that group, there are all kinds of individuals. There are priests that have concubines. There are preachers who are homosexuals. There are people who have multiple wives. We've been reading about some of them in the news recently right here in the United States of America, that have multiple wives, polygamists. And so in that large umbrella of the church, there are all kinds of individuals, people that curse, people that commit fornication, people that get out of the bed of fornication on Sunday morning and go sing in the choir. There are all kinds of people under that umbrella of what we call the church. But in that group of people that are labeled the church, there is a glorious church. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you about that glorious church this morning, that I trust that every one of us are part of that. And if you're not, you better get in it, because that's the church Jesus is coming for. He wants to present this kind of church unto himself, a glorious church. Now, I want you to notice three things about this church. It is a church that is subject unto Christ. It is a church that is sanctified. And it is a church that is supported by Christ. It is subject to Christ. It is sanctified by Christ. And it is supported by Christ. And all of that is in this passage of Scripture that I have read to you this morning. So first of all, we read in my text this morning that in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, we know that women would have a real escape clause if they looked at the majority of the church world and saw how they are subject to Christ. They wouldn't have much incentive to be subject to their husbands. But the glorious church is subject unto Christ. That is, it is submitted in obedience to the commands of Christ. This is the mark of God's church through the ages, the glorious church. This is the mark of God's glorious church, is that the people in this church are subject unto the commands of Jesus Christ. And I believe with all of my heart that anybody who will have Jesus as their Savior must also accept Jesus as their ruler, because he will not be your Savior if he cannot be your Lord. And the church, this glorious church, is subject unto Jesus Christ so that they obey his commands. And the Bible teaches us that faith without works is dead. It's absolutely no good to say that I have faith in Jesus Christ if I am not willing to do what Jesus Christ says. And so this church that Christ is coming back for is a church that is subject unto him and to his word. Now, secondly, it is a sanctified church, sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does Jesus demand that this church be obedient to him and to his commands, but he sanctifies this church so that the church offers willing obedience to him. That is what the outcome of sanctification is that we yield willing obedience unto Christ. The Bible tells us in my text here, it says, husbands, love your wives, verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So Jesus gave himself for this church that he might sanctify it. So this sanctifying of the church cost Jesus his life. On the cross, Jesus died to sanctify his body. The Bible never talks about the world being sanctified. The world needs to be saved. But it is the church of Jesus Christ that needs to be sanctified. And Jesus died to sanctify his body. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." This is what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. He died to sanctify us with his own blood. And that sanctifying that Jesus does in us brings us to the point that we do not yield to him reluctant obedience. We yield to him loving and willing obedience. Hallelujah. And when you are at a point in your life where you know this is the right thing to do, but there's a reluctance in you to perform it, God wants to remove that reluctance from you so that you are subject unto Christ and you do it lovingly and willingly and joyfully. This is a sanctified heart. This is a sanctified life. That we can testify along with Jesus that I delight to do thy will, O God. We delight to do the will of God. And anybody who delights to do the will of God, listen to me now, anybody who delights to do the will of God will be searching out the will of God because they want to know the will of God. And not only do they want to know the will of God, they are determined by the grace of God that they are going to do the will of God. This is a sanctified attitude. This is a sanctified heart. And you know, God doesn't want just people in the church who are conformed to a set of rules and regulations, but who reluctantly serve God. But God wants to give us a joyful heart in his service so that we know the will of God and we do the will of God joyfully. The sanctified heart and the sanctified life is that heart that has been purified from alloys. As the Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The Lord purifies our heart and takes out of us that carnal attitude. You understand that God is after more than just a conformity of your outward life to a standard. God is after conformity of your inward life to the character of Jesus Christ. And this is the sanctifying work that Christ does in us. He conforms us inwardly to the character of Jesus Christ. And Jesus died on the cross to sanctify the church of Jesus Christ so that that church is subject unto him, willingly and joyfully subject unto Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Jesus' blood does that. And his word does that. As the Bible tells us, he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And the word of God is an instrument of cleansing to the church of Jesus Christ. As well as the blood of Christ, the word of God is an instrument of sanctification in the church of Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So that the word of God has a sanctifying, cleansing effect upon the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms 119, maybe around verse 5, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to the word of God." When a person has an open heart to the word of God instructs us in righteousness. It instructs us in holiness. And the blood of Jesus cleanses our heart to give us an appetite for righteousness and holiness. So the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." There's got to be a hunger inside of us and a thirst in us for righteousness. You know, just like a person, if people have a thirst and a hunger for pleasure, nothing will get in their way. They're not going to let anything stand in their way. Not a wife, not a husband, not children, not a job. Nothing's going to stand in their way of having the pleasure they're determined to have in life. And you know, there are divorces that take place all over this country because people are devoted to pleasure. They have a thirst for it, and they neglect their family, neglect their wife, neglect their husband, and they go after that pleasure. I want to tell you, when you've got a hunger and a thirst in your heart for righteousness, nothing else will satisfy you but righteousness. You have got to have righteousness and holiness in your heart and life, and nothing else will satisfy you but that. And you know, this is the way we can tell whether or not we are part of that glorious church that Jesus Christ is coming back for. What kind of appetite do we have? What kind of desires are within us? And what does it take to satisfy us in life? Are we satisfied with carnal pleasures? Are we satisfied with the luxurious living? Are we satisfied just to be comfortable? Or are we satisfied only with doing the will of God? Are we satisfied only by receiving the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ in our heart and life? This glorious church is subject unto Jesus Christ, and it is sanctified by Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this church where priests have concubines, this church where ministers abuse young people in the pews, this church where the pews are full of pornography, this church where the pews are full of cursers and blasphemers, this church where there's lust in the hearts of the people sitting in the pews, that is not the glorious church that Jesus Christ is coming back for. He's coming back to a church that's subject. He's coming back to a church that's sanctified. And he's coming back for a church that is supported by him. Now look at this. Notice in my text this morning, he says, verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. That is, Jesus feeds and cares for his church. This is the reason why that we can live a holy life, is because Jesus cares about his church. I'm telling you, he cares about whether or not you are holy. And if you belong to him, he's going to make you holy. The Bible tells us, it says, for the God of all grace will sanctify you, holy, spirit, soul, and body, that you may be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You hear me? I said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brother, this is not a popular subject in our day. Sanctification and holiness is not a popular subject in our day, but it is a biblical subject, and it is a biblical blessing, and it is God's desire that all of his children be sanctified to live in subjection to him, joyfully subject to his commands. And having this hunger and desire to know the will of God and to perform the will of God in their life. When you get before God, we're all going to stand before God. When we stand before God, God is going to want to know, did you do the will of the Father? The Bible tells us that not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Does it concern you what God thinks about the way you live? Does it concern you about what God thinks about your attitudes? Does it concern you about what God thinks about how you live your life? Are you aware of the fact that you are going to stand before God and give an account before him, and unless you are part of this glorious church, you're not going to hear the words you want to hear? He's going to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Listen to me, folks. Not having spot or wrinkle. Some folks think Christ is just going to gather any old harlot into his church and welcome into heaven. But I'm telling you that God says they're going to be without spot or wrinkle. You remember what God said? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is the pure and undefiled religion that Jesus came to bring to us, a religion unspotted from the world. There's a positive side, there's a negative side. The positive side is that it's a demonstration of the love of God. A sanctified heart is a heart that has been purified of all other love, so that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, and we visit the widows in their affliction and the fatherless in their affliction. There's a positive aspect of a pure heart, and God wants us to demonstrate that sanctified character before the world. He gives us the equipment to do it. He nourishes and cherishes the church of Jesus Christ. Because God doesn't just demand this out of us. He says, I'll supply you with what you need to be that kind of person. So he feeds us with the Word of God. He nourishes and he cherishes the body of Christ to make that body of Christ a sanctified body of people. Hallelujah. You'll never be a light to the world until you become light in Jesus Christ. This glorious church is a shining church. It's a church set on a hill that cannot be hid. When you conform to the world, you can never change the world. But only when you've been sanctified from the world, set apart from the world, purified from the love of the world, that you can be a blessing to the world when Jesus has sanctified your heart and your life. Oh my, this ought to be the desire of every child of God. Oh God, let me be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Can we testify in our experience and say, yes, Lord, I feel like that God has done the work in me so that there is no hunger or thirst in me for the world, but my thirst and my hunger is for righteousness and for holiness. I want to be pleasing to God above everything in this world. I don't have any desire to conform to the fashions of this world. Are y'all hearing me, young ladies? I don't have any desire to conform, and not just young ladies, but mamas and dads and all the rest of you. I don't have any desire to conform to the fashions of this world. It matters not if I'm accepted by the world. What matters is that my life is pleasing unto God. I want my pleasures to be sanctified pleasures. I want my interests to be sanctified interests. I want my eyes to be sanctified eyes. I want my ears to be sanctified ears. They don't take in the world's music. Y'all hearing me? I'm talking about sanctified ears. They recognize those things that are contrary to the principles of the Word of God. They recognize the beat that, you know, pounds us out of our inhibitions and releases us into a world of unrestraint. This sanctified ear recognizes whether something is from God or from hell. And our eyes are sanctified, and our ears are sanctified, and our tongue is sanctified. I'm telling you, brother, all across this country, preachers, they call it the emergent church movement. And young preachers, and not just young preachers, some of them look like they're old enough to be granddaddies. Got the hair blonde, bleached blonde and spiked, and get up in the pulpits and cuss a little bit so that people will feel a little bit more at home in the pew. I reckon they figure that, in order to win the world, you got to join them. I'm going to tell you what, When you begin to act like them, talk like them, look like them, you are them. I said, you are them. And you'll never win the world until you are willing to be like Jesus. Until you are willing to let Him sanctify you and cleanse you by the washing of water, by the Word of God. And Jesus Christ died to make us a sanctified people. And He nourishes and feeds the church of Jesus Christ. And we'll read this scripture right here. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, He gave some. This is Christ's gift to the church. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's the reason why when you come here, you don't just get a little story to make you feel better. You know, a little sermonette to make you feel good about what you've been doing. If the God will help me, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because God has given me the responsibility to bring the body of Christ to perfection through the preaching of the Word of God. I'm telling you, if you will pay attention to the Word of God, it'll sanctify you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, it'll put boundaries on your path. Cause you to walk in the ways of God. Bring you to a joyful subjection to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctify your tongue, Sister Judy, if you'll come. It'll sanctify your tongue so that there's no filthy communication out of your mouth. Not only do you not talk filthy and profanity, but you'll cease your gossiping ways whenever the grace of God gets a hold of your heart and sanctifies you. And sanctify your hands so they're not sticky. Sanctify your hands so that they work. Sanctify your feet so they don't carry you down to the movie houses. They carry you down to the house of God. Boy, I'm telling you, this works. It really works. It'll direct your feet in the paths of righteousness. You ever pray this prayer that David prayed in Psalm 23? He said, lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. Cut out of my life everything that's displeasing to God. Are you willing to say that? Lord, I give you the right to cut out of my life everything that's displeasing to God. If Hollywood's displeasing to you, what am I going to do? I'm going to cut Hollywood out of my life. Oh, yeah. You think Hollywood is going to promote your righteousness and your holiness and your subjection to God? Absolutely not, brother. I'm telling you. We give God the right. You can cut out of my life everything that you see is displeasing to God. Everything that you see is a hindrance to my spiritual growth. I give you the right to cut it out of my life. I talked to Brother Woodrow Cooper this morning, Lumbee Indian from down Pembroke area. He told me about his mother, said she'd been sick. She just right at the gates of death, and God brought her back. And she just got saved just a short time ago. She's in her 80s, I think, and she got saved not too long ago. And she didn't know them for a long time, but she's come back. She knows them. She said she's been singing and talking to us, and said she's been talking about sanctify, Lord, sanctify, Lord, sanctify. She said, I reckon she's praying for God to sanctify her. And it ought to be the desire of every heart, every soul. Lord, correct my attitudes. Correct wrong leanings in me. Help me to be like the Son of God. Help me to be sanctified, that I serve Christ. I'm subject to Christ joyfully. I do the will of God with joy. Hallelujah. You know, some people ask me at times, how in the world do you live without a television? So never live with one. Not hard to live without one if you never live with one. Never live with one. Don't miss what you've never had. But I'm telling you, I've seen enough sitting around hospitals and different places to know that I'm glad I don't have one. It ain't something that I'm crying about not having. I'm thanking God that it ain't there. I want to know this morning, are you interested in being like Him? Are you concerned about your spiritual life? Are you ready for Jesus to take control, full charge of your heart and life? That's what He wants. Let's stand together.